greater discourse at the time of a full moon, Maha Punnama Sutta. This discourse appears in Middle and Saying, and this is the 109th discourse. Thus have I heard, at one time the Lord was staying near Savatthi, in the place of Migara's mother in the Eastern Monastery. Now, at that time, the Lord was sitting down in the open air on the night of a full moon on an observance day, the 15th, surrounded by an order of monks. Then a certain monk, rising from his seat, arranging his upper robe over the one shoulder, having saluted the Lord with joined palms, spoke thus to the Lord, I, revered sir, would ask the Lord about a particular matter if the Lord grants me the opportunity to set forth the question. Well then, monk, you having sat down on your own seat, ask what you desire. Then that monk, having sat down on his own seat, spoke thus to the Lord. Are there not, revered sir, these five groups of grasping, that is to say, the group of grasping after material shape, the group of grasping after feeling, the groups of grasping after perception, the group of grasping after habitual tendencies, the group of grasping after consciousness? These, monk, are the five groups of grasping, that is to say, the group of grasping after material shape and so on. So there are these five things: matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. So we cling to those things. So the materiality that we have, this whatever hard in the body, whatever soft hard sort of nature, and the sounds, smells, taste, all those things also included on the material one, and we are clinging to those. And then there is this three kind of feeling, that is pleasurable feeling, displeasure feeling, neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable feeling. Again, we are clinging to feelings, whether it's whatever the kind is, we are clinging. In the case of displeasure one, we are actually clinging to the pleasure one, so that we have this displeasure generating the anger as well. And there is this perception, you know, there are perceptions about forms. We recognize these are the, this is red, this is blue, and so on. We also perceive the feeling, that pleasurable feeling. We know from the perception that this is pleasurable, this is displeasure, and so on. And then there is this habitual tendencies, or the volitional formations, sanskara in Pali, where we it construct all the other things, that is this material things, matter as matter, condition form as form, it construct it. It construct condition feeling as feeling. It construct condition perception as perception. It construct condition volitional formation as volitional formation. It construct condition consciousness as consciousness. So it's a sort of construction. And there are these six kind of consciousness, that eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness. Again, we cling to all of them. So these are the groups. It is good, revered sir, and this monk, having rejoiced in what the Lord had said, having given thanks, asked the Lord a further question. But what, revered sir, is the root of these five groups of grasping? Mula, or the root. So Buddha said it is the Chanda Mula, that is this desire. These five groups of grasping, monk, have desire for root. Root condition is that desire. Every Dhamma, for every Dhamma, the root condition is the Chanda, the desire. It's a pretty fundamental thing. Are just these five groups of grasping the whole of grasping, revered sir? Or is there grasping apart from these five groups of grasping? So, indeed, monk, these five groups of grasping are not the whole of grasping, and yet there is no grasping apart from the five groups of grasping. Whatever monk's attachment to and desire for the five groups of grasping, then that is grasping. So what Buddha says over here is that if someone says that the five groups of grasping is the whole of grasping, then that is my grasping is the same as yours. It is not so. I might like a flower, that you may not like that one. So that it might not be grasped into the same thing. So therefore, they are different, but the categories are the same. If I cling, I cling to the form. I cling to the feeling, perception, volitional formation, and consciousness. Similarly, anybody else is doing the same thing, same five categories. So they are not apart from that one. But what I am grasping is different to somebody else's grasping. Might it be real, sir, that there is diversity in attachment to and desire for the five groups of grasping? It might be, monk, the Lord said. It occurs to someone here, monk, may material shape be thus in the distant future? May feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness be such in the distant future? So that means that having seen someone who is sort of wealthy or happy or something like that, one would think, let me be like that, like him in the future. Or having heard about the divine beings, so one would sort of think, I have such and such a form in the future. So there is this thinking. Even so, monk, is there diversity in the attachment to and desire for the five groups of grasping? But to what extent, revered sir, is there a group of grasping for the groups? To the extent. Whatever, monk, is material shape, past, future or present, internal, external, gross or subtle, mean or excellent, whatever is far or near, this is the group of material shape. Whatever feeling, past, future, present. So, similarly, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. Whether far, near, group of consciousness. To this extent, monk, is there a group destination for the groups. So that we are grouping, there are 11 terms here for the form. That is, it can be past, future or present, or internal or external, gross or subtle, mean or excellent. It can be near, it can be far. So that is those 11 for the matter. Similarly for the feeling. This one explained in greater detail in Abhidhamma Pitaka, second book of Abhidhamma, called Vibhanga. And it is describing what is this past. The material quality which is past, ceased, dissolved, changed, terminated, disappeared, or which having arisen has dissolved, has passed and is classed among the things that are past. And what are the future ones? That material quality which is not born, not become, and not existing, fully non-existent, not apparent, that sort of thing. It has not arisen yet. And therein, what is present material quality? That material quality which is born, become, existence, fully existence, apparent and so on. Whatever thing that we can see in the present time. Then what is internal material quality? That material quality which for this or that being is personal, self-referable, one's own, individual and is grasped by craving and false view. That four great elements. So that our body internally, I say this is the internal material quality. And then there is this external material quality. That material quality which is for this or that other being. So, if I take any one of your body, that is the external one. So, this is internal, that is external. And then there is, what is gross material quality? The gross material quality is this eye base, ear base, nose and tongue. So, what is internal eye, ear, nose, tongue, that one. And what is subtle material quality? The controlling faculty of femininity. So all the faculties, the other peoples, whatever things that we see, they are the subtle one. Then what is inferior material quality? The material quality which for this or that being is contemptible, despised, worthless. Like, you know, excreta or something like that. So it's worthless, inferior. Thought to be inferior, considered to be inferior, undesirable by others. So these are the inferior ones. And there, what is superior? So in that case, it is not worthless. It is worth some worthiness is there.
So, that superior quality is, it's about Dhamma.
No. This is the matter, material thing that you might say, $1,000,000 is worth, a gem is worth it. As the inferior one is that something that you throw out, you don't give any value. So, therein what is a distance material quality? The controlling faculty of femininity. The nutriment factor of food. Whatever other material quality there is, not near, not close, distant. So the far away, whatever those things. And therein what is proximate material quality, that is that near one. That is eye base, ear base, nose base, those things are the ones. So this is sort of very clear when we talk about the material qualities. Matter is sort of easy to perceive. But when you talk about the feelings, how do you say about what is this distant feeling and the present, the present feeling we know. So, I will cover that. This is, there are about many pages over here. I will cover the feeling part, but the same definition can be applied to the perception. Then, what is the aggregate of feeling? Whatever feeling is past, future, present, internal or external, all those things are sort of feeling. Then, what is past feeling? That feeling which is past, ceased, dissolved, changed, terminated, disappeared, or which have arisen, has dissolved, has passed, or whatever thing in the past. What is future feeling? That feeling which is not born, not become, not non-existent, fully non-existent. So they are not there yet with us. And what is the present one? Everyone understand that the presently I have the whatever the feeling that is born, become, existence, fully existence, apparent. Then what is internal feeling? That feeling which for this or that being is personal, self-referable, one's own, individual and is grasped. So whatever the feeling that I have, that is my internal feeling. Then what is external feeling? That feeling which for this or that other being, for other persons is personal. So that is the feeling of anybody else's. Therein what is gross and subtle feeling? Bad feeling is gross. Whatever the unskilled state I have, that is bad. So bad feeling is gross. Good and neither good nor bad feeling is subtle in that one. So that is when I have kusal or skill state of the mind, whatever the feeling I have, that they are good. They are subtle. Good and bad feeling is gross, so there's another phenomena. Good and we put the good and bad feeling as gross, and neither good nor bad feeling as subtle. So the equanimity state is the better one. So there is that. So one can understand what is the gross and the subtle over here. The feeling of one not experiencing higher mental state is gross. The feeling of one experiencing higher mental state is subtle. So dhyana. The concentration, wherever you have the higher concentration, whatever the feeling over there is the subtle one. The other one is the gross one. So that is the gross and subtle, how to see that one. Therein, what is the inferior, also superior feeling. Bad feeling is inferior. And the good and neither good feeling is superior. So similarly, the same definition apply again. So the feeling that is the object of defilement is inferior. Feeling that is not the object of defilement is superior. And therein, what is the distant feeling? Bad feeling is distant from the good and neither no good feeling. So you can see the bad feeling, whatever when we have unskilled state of the mind, akusala, and at that time feeling is different to when you are actually doing something good. That the you are either rapture state or you are giving alms or something to a monk, you are doing good thing, and that feeling is totally different to the other one. That's far away. So that's the distance feeling. So well, it's a lengthy explanation over here. Then what is proximate feeling? The bad feeling is proximate to bad feeling. So whatever thing bad is close to the bad one. And a good feeling is proximate to good feeling. So it goes like that one. So the skill states, whatever the skill state I have, is the feeling over there is close to the feeling in the another good state. So similarly, the same thing that what I just described for the feeling can be applied to the perception and other ones. To distinguish between the distance and all those things, we use kusala kusala, that the unskilled and skilled states. What is the cause, revered sir, what the reason enabling a definition to be made of a group of material shape? What is the cause, what is the reason enabling a definition to be made of the group of feelings? Similarly, perception, habitual tendencies, is volitional formations, or group of consciousness. So there are two terms over here. One is the cause, that is hetu in Pali, and then the paccha is the reason or condition in English. For the paccha is in the Pali. So these two are normally, we say this, the cause and the condition, we normally take as the same thing. That's how we use, but they have different meanings, cause and condition. Cause has a characteristic of not being shared in common. And the condition has the characteristic of being shared in common. So the patikasampada, you know, the dependent origination has got the condition. From the ignorance, there is this volitional formations come to be. So there is this condition. That one become cause as well. In that particular case, cause and the condition are the same. But one can give an example where the cause and the condition is different. So if you take a sprout of a seed, the occurrence of a seed sprout, the seed is not shared in common with the sprout or any other sprouts. While the earth and water are common to both. So that is a condition. You've got to have the earth and water to the sprout to come out. So it's a general condition. So condition is sort of general for everyone. It is common. So the question is why we designate these things? You know, what is the cause and the condition to be made for the group of material shape? The four great elements, monks, are the cause. The four great elements are the reason enabling a definition to be made of the group of material shape. So we know the four great elements, that is the element of extension, element of cohesion, element of motion, and element of heat. So those four great elements are the cause and condition for the form, right?
And isn't the karma also a cause for
to arise it? Yes, but this has got a really big meaning. I don't know how much you would understand in this statement. I will try to explain as much as I can. See, the four great elements, when we have the four great elements, we perceive a form. We give some sort of a name, right? A chair. What I have over here is the four great elements. How do we know that one is a chair? We perceive that one as a chair. How do you perceive that one as a chair? Because somebody told me when I was small, or teacher, or mother, or father, that they didn't say chair to this particular one because it was not there at my home. There was something similar, something that four legs or something, right? So there was something. So then they said chair. Then when I see such a shape, then I perceive that one as a chair, and then I name it. And I will call it chair. So the name and form, see, the name comes from my mind. There was something here, that is the four great elements. I constructed something out of whatever thing I have, got it over here before, something conditioned, and I constructed it. Now, if you look a little bit further in Nibbedika Sutta, what Buddha says, I've got that part. Buddha said that the maturity of the common usage is perception. in whatever way it is perceived, in that way it is defined. So I define this one as a chair, the common usage. That is to perceive. Well, Pali, this is really nice. Yata yata nan sanjanati tata tata vohara. That's how we use. So now you can see, there are what was there was the four great elements. Now I call it a form. I construct something. I construct something to be called form. And we give it names, you know, we all have names. Right? Now similarly, for the feeling. So there is this sensory impingement is the cause. Sensory impingement is the reason enabling a definition to be made for the group of feeling. So was there actually a feeling? Was there a form, a chair here? Was there a four great element here? Or is there a chair here? Chair I constructed. What is there is four great element. So is there a feeling? We construct the feeling. What was there is the contact. This is very, very detailed. If you think this one, it is very detailed in that respect. Only the concentrated mind can actually see this. And so, what we do, we add something from our own to the object that we see. We see something, we add from our own qualities. That is a chair. It's not a comfortable chair. It's an ugly chair. You know, one child might say this is ugly chair. One may say it's a good chair. Right? So all qualities. Similarly, the feeling. When you come to the feeling, you can see that what is there was a contact. That is, there is this I. There is this form. Meeting of the I and the form, the I consciousness arises. Meeting of the three is called contact. That's what it was. And we add, this is pleasurable, this is displeasure, this is neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable. It is completely from our own, we are adding it. So, similarly, for the perception, perception also arising out of the for the contact. And the growth of habitual tendencies is something to do with the contact. Out of the contact, we get that one. First, whatever thing we see, we feel, we perceive that to be pleasurable, and having perceived that thing to be pleasurable, we regard that one to be mine. We have the volition created out of that one, and we regard that one to be mine, this is mine, and so on. And name and form, name and shape, or name and form, is the cause, name and shape is the reason or condition enabling a definition to be made of the group of consciousness. So the Nibbedic Sutta says, we define it. Having perceived it, we define it. Having defined, we use it. So you can see it's a construction. And this one lead to the next one, the next statement. But how revealed, sir, is there a wrong view as to own body? As to this monk, an uninstructed average person, taking no count of the pure ones, unskilled in the Dhamma of the pure ones, untrained in the Dhamma of the pure ones, taking no count of the true men, unskilled in the Dhamma of the true men, untrained in the Dhamma of the true men, regards material shape as self, or self as having material shape, or material shape as in self, or self as in material shape. So similarly for the feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. So this monk is there, the monk, this is the wrong view as to own body. So if we look at this, these four terms mentioned in this one in little bit detail. So, first one is that he regards the form as self. Form as self. So, that form as self means that that is the form and the self are the same. I do not distinguish that there is difference between the form and the self. So, that one example is that the flame of an oil lamp and its color are indistinguishable. They are both the same. So, that there is this flame and the color. So, I see the color, the flame is the same. So, that's the one category. Okay. And think whether you are actually regarding this way or you are regarding or used to regard the next category, because that can be used to categorize people. So you can determine your characteristic, and there are meditations depending on this thing. You can think whether I either used to regard this way or I am regarding this way. Okay, so first see whether you are thinking that self and the body sort of the same. There's no difference. I regard the form as self, self as form. And next three, we group into one category. That is, he regards self as possessing form. That is, that when he takes the formless mind or mental factor as a self, that possessing form is like a tree possesses a shadow. So the tree is the itself, and then there is this shadow, is that the form. The tree has the shadow. The other one is form as in self. That is, when he takes the formless mind as a self, within which form is situated. Something like a scent is in a flower. That is, scent is that self, and the scent is the form. The flower has got this smell. And the third category, third one, is self as in form. That is, jewel is in a casket. So, jewel is that, he is the self, and the casket is the form. So, consider these three as the one category and think yourself whether I am sort of thinking, well, do I regard the whole thing as this one? If, you know, before hearing Dhamma, you may not be doing it now. Before hearing Dhamma, were you regarding the form as self, or that I see that I am actually inside this body, or this body is inside my mind, or something like that. So, those two things, if you are regarding, I don't know whether I should tell you the answer first, or you should first determine yourself whether it is. If you regard that that the form as the self, that is like X equals Y situation, then you have that something called you are a dittycharita or a prominent views. That's what you have. But if you are other three, that is like this the form inside over here, or this one is inside the mind sort of scenario, they are called craving characteristics. So if someone got craving characteristics, is the vipassana, the inside meditation is the treatment. And if you have the jitti, the characteristic, prominent views as the characteristic, then the concentration meditations is the path to follow. And so each path has got about 10 things to do. That's how one would regard. So these people are regarding either the matter, the form is the same as self, or self as having a material shape, or material shape as in self, and so on. So there are four things. But how, revered sir, is there not wrong view as to own body? As to this monk, an instructed disciple of the pure ones, taking count of the pure ones, skill in the Dhamma of the pure ones, well trained in the Dhamma of the pure ones, taking count of the true men, skill in Dhamma of the true men, well trained in Dhamma of the true men, does not regard material shape as self. He does not regard feeling as self, perception as self, or the consciousness as self. No self as having consciousness, no consciousness as in self, no self as in consciousness. Thus monk is there not wrong view as to own body. So there is no mis theory about the self. And what revealed, sir, is the satisfaction in material shape. What the peril? What is the escape from it? What is the satisfaction in feeling, in perception, in habitual tendencies, in consciousness? What the peril? What is the escape from it? Monk, whatever happiness and bliss arise on account of material shape, this constitute the satisfaction in material shape. Whatever impermanence, suffering, liable to change, are in material shape, this constitute the peril in material shape. So the happiness is the satisfaction, and the impermanence is the peril, the danger in material shape. Whatever the control of desire and attachment for material shape, the getting rid of the attachment and desire, this constitutes escape from material shape. So if you give up the desire and attachment for material shape, so that is the escape. So there are three things over here. Similarly for the feeling, the same thing repeated for the feeling, that whatever the happiness arises in account of feeling, that constitutes satisfaction in feeling. And feeling is impermanent, so that is the danger part. And whatever the desire and the control of desire and attachment for feeling and getting rid of it is the escape out of it. So, but revered sir, for a man knowing that, seeing what, are there no latent conceits that I am the doer, mine is the doer, in regard to this consciousness, informed body and all the phenomena extend to it. Whatever monk is material shape, past, future or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, mean or excellent, whatever is far or near, he, thinking of all this material shape as, this is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself, sees it thus as it really is by means of perfect wisdom. Whatever is feeling, similarly perception, volitional formation and consciousness, is not regarding them as mine. So, not doing that one, there is no latent conceit that I am the doer, mine is the doer, in regard to this consciousness in form body. So, over here, this is again very big thing to know, that we have this conceit that I am. That I am is a conceit that we made from our mind. And that how it happened, Buddha said that this is that someone is saying this. If someone is saying this is mine, then we have the conceit. If someone is regarding that this is not mine, then you are getting rid of the conceit I am. And Parileya Sutta in Middle Length Sayings is explained Buddha further this one thoroughly. Buddha said, one regards form as self, this form as self. This regarding is a formation. If I regard that form as self, this regarding is a formation. That is how we came to these constructions, this chair. So having perceived it, and then I construct the what was there was the four great elements, then I construct it as a chair. Having constructed it as a chair, having known the value of a chair, you know, it has got some value for me, gives rise to happiness or sort of thing. So then I constructed something, some formation is there. That formation keep on constructing the things that I like. I desire, I am happy with. So Buddha said, what is the cause, what's the condition, what's the root for this formation? Buddha said that this, the contact, born of ignorance, ignorance born contact, whatever feeling arises, depending on the contact, then the craving arises. There is this feeling, there is contact, there is feeling, so there is this craving arises. That is the root, the cause, the root thing for this the formation. So having seen some beautiful object, well, it's not beautiful, we constructed it to be beautiful. Having perceived it, and we are constructing it. What we are constructing is what we have perceived before. What we have used to perceive before, having seen something, we construct. It doesn't got the real nature. For if you take a flower, I would say that this is a beautiful flower. Another person will say, oh, I don't like it. It's ugly. So it is my construction, this one to be beautiful. The other person is not constructing that too, because he did not perceive it that too. There was some sort of an inbuilt characteristic that it is not so. So we tend to construct whatever we like. And having constructed, we live with it. You know, we say this pleasurable, this construction, this is pleasurable. And not knowing that it is impermanent thing, we keep on constructing. And we regard that at that particular time, that the conceit that I am arises because of the construction, that I am the one who is constructing. So I see that if I am the doer, I am the constructor. I took this example before as well. Let's say that you are walking and then there is this beautiful person coming in front of you. When that person comes in front of you, then some contact arises depending on the characteristic of that person. And depending on that one, there is some sort of feeling. Again, I constructed that feeling. So, now, see, that person pass away, right? But your construction still occurring in your mind. And if it is pleasurable, you keep on constructing that one. That person who is going there might have got a cough, you know, coughing. But this one that I construct doesn't have any cough, it's perfect. And that person might die, but this construction continues. That thing, that what I construct, keep on continuing. So I see this one as a permanent thing. And what is happening over here? There was a pleasurable contact. This is, you can see when you have a pleasurable contact, you can really see this one. The displeasure contact also, there is something because you keep on going on the head part of that one, right? So pleasurable contact, the mind go back to the contact. That's the thing one has to understand. Where it is going, it is not going to that form. It is going to the meeting of the three. The I, the form, and the I consciousness. Meeting of the three. It is going back to the contact. So as far as there is contact, that I can keep on getting it, I have the feeling, pleasurable feeling that I construct to be pleasurable all the time. So that person has gone, died, passed away, but still this is continuing. So that leads to this mind-making. It will lead to what is called mind-making, that is mind. And there is this other case where I have this, let's say, well, I take again an example of a beautiful person. Let's say a girl of 16 years of age who is beautiful. That person, normally, they are proud, aren't they? They are proud of the beauty. So, that is, in Pali it's called ahankara, that the conceit is there. And in English we call eye-making. It's eye-making. Ahankara is eye-making. Because of the ahankara, what do they do? That ahankara or the eye-making is lead to what is called attasanya, the view of the self. So when we get that one, we are going back to the same thing again. We started with something that I got a beautiful body. The other person hasn't got that one. I got a beautiful body. And then they hear about, well, how do you get a beautiful body? Do you have done something meritorious deeds in the past or something? And having heard that one, then I keep on doing that one to get the beautiful body. So the attasanya or the identity view has got the characteristic of going back to the dhamma. Dhamma is the volition and the perception. So whatever the volition I have done before to become beautiful, is the one I have to continue. So I keep on doing the good things to become beautiful. So that's continuing as well. So there are two things into this conceit. Not one. It's attacking us in two different fronts.
Now what about the person who doesn't do that?
Well, then he actually got rid of at that particular time, but he is not doing that one for this particular object, but he's doing for something else. That if you're talking about a beautiful person, well, that beautiful person is sort of not going back to the that state again. But they might continue doing the meritorious deeds or whatever thing it is to become beautiful. There is some sort of an element of this thing going on.
But it's only if you know them.
Well, if you penetrate it, then you don't do it. Otherwise, there is an element. If you penetrate and you really see, there is this body, that 16-year-old person's body, become 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, Buddha is sending it to 80 years, and then the age, you know, wrinkled body and sort of thing. And that peril has occurred. And that person, then Buddha is saying that living in a sort of a sick condition and with excreta, urine and all those things. And that peril, now you can see that it is apparent. And by that time, if he is, that person is thinking that it is too late in that sense. Because that this thing is gone. But if someone perceiving that, yes, I got this body, but my grandmother's body is like that one, so grandmother became like that one, so I will become like that one. So if he's applying in that way, yes, then it is. Otherwise, there is this thing continuing.
But still, I'm confused with that, because unless you know Dhamma, one wouldn't think like
right.
that.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if one knows Dhamma, so I'm actually taking two parts here. One knows Dhamma, one does not know Dhamma. If the one does not know Dhamma, continuing in that previous cycle, going forever. The other one who knows about Dhamma, they contemplate. But there is still an element. Even you become a never return, there is a still an element of this one within oneself. And it takes long time to get rid of it. This is very hard to get rid of.
But a person who understand that how the person has got the beauty because of the previous karma and all these things, and good things means the pasalavati.
That means he knows the paticchasamuppada.
Yeah.
Dependent origination not by hearing, but by penetrating. Yathabhuta. That is that as it is, that person should know. So it's stream enter and above. That one can actually do that way. So they also got to apply it. They also got to apply this thing and to get rid of completely. Although we think that we sort of, you know, we have sensual desires. And let's say someone is sort of putting it out. But there is still this body. So there is this, regarding the body, own body, there is this, the lust, the craving. It is very subtle thing, which we do not normally think, because it's always with us. But when some doctor says that your leg got to be amputated, and that time then they actually think, that I can't let. Right, so then you can see the craving coming. It become prominent at that time, you can see it. So these things are, first one has to get rid of the sensual desire. But these things about the body and the form is, it's more subtle ones. Surely the body originated these things. The form originated that one, our thinking about the sensual desire and so on. But that's the part first one can get rid of. Kama vitakko, sensual desire thinking. This one is hard. This one, but when one become a never returner and keep on, you know, applying the impermanent nature to the form and the formless, form and the formless and so on, then they can get rid of. And at that time, then a reasoning arose in the mind of a certain monk. Thus, it is said, sir, that material shape is not self. Feeling is not self. Perception is not self. The habitual tendencies are not self. Consciousness is not self. Then what self do deeds effect that are done by non-self? So you can see that if the form is not self, the feeling is not self, the perception is not self, then I'm not here, right? That's what one would normally get into, isn't it? One would say that if the form is not there, feeling is not there, perception is not there, then what else? There's nothing.
So it should be a dead body.
Well, not even a dead body. I mean, the dead body, but you may be perceiving the dead body. So you can see that who is doing these things and so on. So, you see, for the most part, the world is either say that there is or there isn't. That's how the world person thinks. They do not think in the dependent origination way. They always think, well, nothing is over here. So if I say that self is not here, or you know, the form is not self and so on, then if I exclude everything, then I would say that, so I do not exist. Therefore, I don't have a father. I don't have a mother. I don't have a teacher. That is not true. Right? And on the other hand, if I say, so for that person, Buddha is saying that if someone sees the origination, the phenomena of arising, then he would not actually say that. This is Kacchanavata Sutta in some connected discourse of the Buddha. Buddha said that if someone sees the arising phenomena, then he would not say that, you know, I do not exist. That this particular one, the Buddha said that this is not self, but that person is taking that I do not exist. That's what he is regarding. I do not exist then. Nothing is self. So it's a view. So that view is not true when someone sees the origination, you know, arising phenomena. So that is something like how the form may come to arise. One seeks delight in form, welcomes it, remain holding to it. So by doing that one, the delight in form arises. So when we get the delight in form, we cling to that one. And as clinging as condition, there is existence. And existence as condition, there is birth. So then is the arising phenomena of the body and the feeling, the perception, original formation. For that person, he would not say that, I do not exist. And the person who knows the cessation phenomena, that is, one does not seek delight in form, does not welcome it, does not remain holding to it. So with the cessation of that one, comes the cessation of the delight. Because if I have a TV, if I don't go there, if I don't switch it on, if I don't ask anybody to switch it on, if I don't watch it, then there is no form over there. I don't get any happiness out of that picture if I am not clinging to anything. Like that, in the same way for anything else, then you can see that I don't have any craving. Since I don't have any craving, then there is no existence of craving. Since there is no existence of craving, there won't be any birth for me. So that's the cessation. If I see the cessation, then I do not say that I exist. So, without knowing the dependent origination, that the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena, one would actually contemplate either I exist, I do not exist, either two ends. Now, what is the arising phenomena and passing away phenomena? Together, that is the impermanent nature. Impermanent nature, if you are actually contemplating about the impermanent nature, then you are looking at the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. According to that, the concentration discourse, that one seek delight in form, welcomes it, remain whole into it. So by that way, we have the arising phenomena. If I don't do it, the reverse of that one. So that's the cessation phenomena. That is called impermanency together. That leads to the understanding of the impermanency. So then Buddha pursued. Then the Lord, knowing by mind the reasoning in the mind of this monk, addressed the monk saying, this situation exists, monks, when some foolish man here, not knowing, ignorant, with his mind in the grip of craving, may deem to go beyond the teacher's instruction thus. It is said, sir, the material shape is not self, consciousness is not self. Then what self do deeds, effect that are done by non-self? You, monk, have been trained by me to look for conditions, now here, now there, in these things and in those. What do you think about this? Is material shape permanent or impermanent? So you can see that Buddha started with one would actually say straight away, why the impermanent come to picture over here? The impermanent come to picture over here, impermanency means by understanding that the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. So the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena is actually telling you that self nature. So it says impermanent. So those monks should have that knowledge before. Straight away Buddha is going into that one because they have that knowledge. But what is impermanent, painful, or is it pleasant? Painful, revered sir. And is it right to regard that which is impermanent, suffering, liable to change as, this is mine, this am I, this is myself? not in yourself. If something is impermanent, it is suffering. If it is suffering and changing, then is it befitting to regard? That's a really good word over here. Is it befitting to regard as mine? If it is suffering, if I contemplate about the suffering, and let's say I see something, a food or something, that this is really tasty, I want to eat. And if I, let's say that I'm a diabetic person, I see some sugar type food here, and I normally tend to eat because I like it. But if the doctor has told me, well, good man, don't eat those things, the sweet type things, you will die. Your legs might have to be amputated, sort of thing. Then we would restrict ourselves. So our doctor, the Buddha, said that these things are suffering, lead to suffering. Avoid them. So having seen something, and if I know that it is suffering or lead to suffering, then we wouldn't take. It is not befitting for me to take that food as mine, to grab it as mine, and hold it as mine. So,
in this particular issue, we have temporary satisfaction, and without knowing the danger, we perceive that temporary satisfaction. And Buddha said, look at the parent, and while looking at that one, and then disregard or avoid taking that one. That is the way.
Yes, yes, yes. So that the doctor's example, he remembered doctor's advice. The danger is that if you eat, your legs has to be amputated in the future. Right? Similarly, Buddha said, if you cling into these things, you will go to hell, animal realm, and all those bad places, and even the human realm, you are suffering. So having known that peril, this part, or having known the impermanent nature thoroughly about that thing, then one would leave it up.
That means all the way, all the time, we have to keep in mind, this is suffering.
This is suffering. Right. Unless you know the suffering, then, So it is painful, sir, and it is right to regard that which is impermanent, suffering, liable to change as, this is mine, this am I, this is myself. No reward, sir. What do you think about this monk? Similarly, Buddha asked the same question about the feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness, whether they are permanent or impermanent. Impermanent reward, sir. But what is impermanent, painful or pleasant? Painful. And is it right to regard that which is impermanent, suffering, liable to change, as this is mine, this am I, this is myself, no revered sir. Wherefore, monks, whatever is material shape, past, future, or present, internal thinking of this material shape as this is not mine, this am I not, this is not myself, he should see thus it as it really is by means of perfect wisdom. So over here you can see that Buddha is asking you to go back to the past ones. There is a wrong perception among some Buddhist meditators that we should not go back to past. Even for analysis, you are not going to go back to, I stay at the current moment sort of thing. But that won't help. Buddha says over here, you need to go and analyze those things as well. Because you may not be holding at the moment, at the old age or something, the current feeling I have. It's a crappy feeling, right? An old man got a crappy feeling. And he's not, but he is clinging to his young time feeling, you know, that I was such and such a form. You know, when you talk to these old people, they go on, you know, ages for their young age, how they did, how they perform and all those things. See, that is that part. They have not given up that. So not having, at this particular moment, when you are old and sick and so on, well, it is easy to give up because it's, you know, I don't give any value out of that. But having known this one, they go back to the past, I was such and such. So now he is thinking about that past. He has the aspiration for the future. The next birth also, I will have such and such a body. I will do such and such a thing. So one has to go to the past. Similarly for the future. One has to equally apply. You know, whatever thing passed, it has passed away. ceased. They are impermanent. So the current one is also same nature. So one should not have any expectation for the fast feeling or perception or volitional formation, consciousness or the form. So if we do that, then we have not finished. Because we are getting rid of the current ones, but the past remains and the future remains as it is. So similarly, if you contemplate about feelings, you can see your past feelings, how much you are dealing with that one. A meditator, you know, in the concentration state, knows this. How much you are clinging. It's not the form, it's the feeling. The feeling you used to have, which you do not have now, you're going back to again and again. Again and again visiting, and again and again constructing them. So that's the part Buddha said about the form, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. And even the sanskara, you know, that if you talk to an engineer, an old engineer, well, he may be sort of thinking about, talking about the impermanent nature and sort of thing. And you talk to him about his, you know, the past things, whatever bridges and they have done and so on. Well, then that you can see the smile and the things and everything comes up to the one and then, you know, goes on. Because I have seen these things, that's what I'm saying. It is like that. The fast actions, those are the volitional, habitual tendencies. And similarly, consciousness cannot be seen unless you have high concentrations. Consciousness also the same. So all these things, just by what we have to do, is not regard, they are not mine. If something leading to suffering and creating suffering here and now and in the future, why would I cling into that one? So giving up that one. Thus spoke the Lord, delighted these monks, rejoiced in what the Lord has said. And while this exposition was being spoken, the minds of as many as 60 monks were freed from the cankers with no grasping remaining. They become arahant. So this is the greater discourse of a full moon. It's a really good discourse. It has got all the substance for one to understand this. The five aggregates and how the self is formed and what to do to get rid of that one. And so it is short. The other Dhamma parts should come, but I suppose those monks who were there had that known and practiced those things before. We'll stop for today then.